If you have your Bibles with you, please, will you turn to the book of Galatians? The book of Galatians and chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Amen. And we know that God will bless this public reading of his own infallible truth. Amen. Friends, I want to be very, very simple in my preaching this evening. And I want to ask a very basic question, and it's this, and it has to be asked in these days. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? In my young day, I was well aware, as most other people were, what a Christian was. But things have changed since all that time ago. It seems to be that anyone who goes to any sort of a Christian church now is deemed a Christian. We're told that we live in a Christian country. We have been told that our troubles have been Christians at war. We're living in days when we have gay Christians and gay Christian churches. I heard a rather amazing one. In England, of course, now they're trying to ban Christmas in different places. And apparently a family, I was listening to a radio program, and because a certain family had decorations up and a Santa Claus and so forth, they were the Christian family in the area. It's important that we try to ask this question. What then is a Christian? What has the Bible got to say as regards what a Christian is? Well, I want to take just one verse this evening. Now, it's a very deep and theological verse, but I want to look at it in a very simple and plain and undetailed way, and it's found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And I think there's enough ammunition for me to bring to you what a Christian really is. Now, here's the verse. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The first thing I want to notice about this is that a Christian is one who has died. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. Look what it says. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. What strange language, whatever does he mean? Well, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. He means, I have been put to death with Christ. I have been put to death for the cause of Christ. I have died to self. The life that I formerly lived, I have taken a deliberate and conscious decision to forgo, to put to death, to mortify the way I used to live. I have been crucified with Christ. I have put to death the former life. So the Christian is one who wanted to be finished with that life of sin, wanted to be released from the power and guilt of and shame of sin. This is known as an act of repentance. And repentance is a conscious, deliberate act in heart and mind to turn from sin. The idea is, it's like in military terms, the army are doing their square bashing and so forth, and it's an about turn. You're in a certain direction, and you turn right round. Once I was living for sin, living for self, living for pleasure, but I have made a deliberate and conscious decision to turn away from that life into another life. I have crucified, I have put to death, I have mortified the old way I used to live. Now, repentance has a Siamese twin or something that's together with repentance, and that's faith. And you can't have true biblical repentance without true biblical faith. You just can't have the one without the other. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. It is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate them. They are Siamese twins. When a sinner comes, he puts to death the old life, and he just doesn't turn away from the old life into a vacuum, but he turns from that old life to Jesus Christ. Repentance, faith in Christ. But the first thing we have to see is the old life is finished. Repentance is a chief word of the gospel. It's the first step in salvation. It is an imperative of the gospel. God commands all men everywhere to repent. We must turn from our old way. We must have repentance, and with it the Siamese twin, faith. Whenever a man comes to God, he must die. When God invites the sinner, come and live, first he must come and die. The old life must be crucified, mortified, put to death. It's a deliberate act. But in the believer's life, and we'll come to that just in a moment, how do I know that I am a Christian? I will have to keep repenting and turning. But there is this once for all act of repentance and faith. The first thing we discover then from our verse, a Christian is one who has died to self. I am crucified with Christ. But then we read this amazing statement. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Oh, what a miraculous thing. The person who dies to self finds a new life in Jesus Christ. He is born again of the Spirit, a new life to live. Let me repeat this. The person who has died with Christ now lives with Christ. Christ lives in me, says Paul. Because Christ died, he was crucified and died, and because he is risen and lives in the power of an endless life, when I turn from my sin and turn to him, I receive that new life from him. It is life in all its fullness. It is spiritual life. It is life that is abundant. It is life that is eternal. I have received life from God. That's what a Christian is. I remember as a young man, I was saved about 6 months, and you know the devil keeps bringing doubts. Are you really saved? Have you done this right? And all the old devils are rascal. And I remember about 6 months after I was saved, just sitting down and taking stock of my life. And the places and the haunts that I used to go to, I had no more desire for those things. And when I looked at my life and I looked at the things that I was now interested in and the places I wanted to be, things that had a spiritual significance in my life, and I realized, look, what the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's life from God. It's the life of God in the sinner's heart. A new beginning. But first, you must crucify the old life, put it to death, and you receive this new life. So a Christian is one who has died to self. A Christian is one who possesses new life. But let's go on in our text. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now listen to this bit. And the life which I now live in the flesh. The third thing I want us to think about tonight is this. The Christian is still a human being. He's still a human being. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that we will be sinlessly spotless. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that we don't fall in sin. And I want you to be very sure about this tonight. Do you know the way whenever you see a new house going up and they finish the house and all to do with the house, and in the garden it's just laying there, and there's old bits of trees and old bicycles and boulders and stuff, and what they do is that they bring in the garden experts and they clear the whole site and they renovate the site and they make it all different, and they sow down their lawn seed and the grass is sown and so forth. And they put flower beds and little shrubs and so forth. And it looks amazingly different. And you can see the change. It's very obvious. But no matter how well the ground has been prepared, there'll always be weeds. You can't get rid of them. And though a person is born again of the Spirit of God, he still has within him the old nature of sin. And at times he will fall in sin and do things and say things that he knows he shouldn't do. And that's what I said earlier on. Though he has made the one act of repentance and faith in his life, he will have this desire to keep turning from sin and to keep glorifying the Lord. And he has a battle on in his hands. Galatians tells us about this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Remember, we're thinking about the Christian is still a human being. He still lives in the flesh. Galatians 5 and 17. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a battle going on inside. And of course, in this chapter, we're told about the works of the flesh, the seeds of sin are still there. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, etc., etc. The old sins are still there. But we need again to keep on mortifying those things with the help and grace of God. And in verse 22 and verse 23, the fruit of the Spirit, when we begin to live for the Lord and conquer these sins from coming up, as it were, like weeds into the garden. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc., etc. And so he's still living in the flesh, and he has difficulty living as a Christian in this world of sin. You know, whenever a man becomes a Christian, it doesn't take away his problems. In fact, sometimes becoming a Christian adds to your problems, because you've got to live for God and you have to seek to honor him. And sometimes that can become very, very difficult. I've put to death the old life. I have received a new life, but I'm still in the flesh, and I have to struggle every day with the problem of sin in my own life. Let's go further into this magnificent text. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The Christian has an exalted view of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything to the believer. When he lived in sin, the unbeliever walks by sight, walks by instinct. But now that he's a believer, he lives and walks by faith in the Son of God. Every believer has this exalted view of Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is my rock. He is my shepherd. He is my light. He is the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ means everything to every believer. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God, all of life's sorrows, all of life's difficulties become Christ-centered. All of life's joys, all of life's triumphs become Christ-centered. In all things in life, for the true believer, the Lord Jesus doesn't have part. He doesn't have prominence. But in the believer's life, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. He must be Lord of all. Jesus Christ must be Lord. How do I know a person is saved? Jesus Christ is Lord of the life. Everything is Christ-centered. Everything is lived out by faith in him. I didn't tell you this was a five-point sermon before it started. You'd have been really worried, wouldn't you? We've covered four, and we're coming to the last. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian has a personal assurance of the love of God in Christ, and he knows it through Calvary. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Every believer has this personal interest in the Son of God. Look what Paul says. The Son of God who loved the church. Times it does say that. The Son of God who loved me. It's so, so personal. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, the wonder of Calvary. The wonder of it all. He, the Son of God, gave himself for me. And you see, the believer looks back to that place called Calvary. And he can see the dying form of his beloved Savior. The one who did no sin. The one who died for the sinner. And the believer looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees the mighty gulf that he spanned at Calvary. He's the one mediator between God and man. He's the one who made peace through the blood of his cross. And he looks away yonder to Calvary. And it's oh so personal. The Son of God who loved me. If there was nobody else, he loved me. And gave himself for me. Oh, the wonder of it all. Later on in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul just puts the icing in the cake as regards what Calvary means to the believer. Paul says this, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The believer says, I have nothing else and no one else to glory in. I don't glory in anything that I am. I don't glory in anything that I've done for the Lord. It's all of grace. It's all of God. He loved me. He gave himself for me. I have nothing of self to glory in, but I glory in the Lord Jesus Christ and I glory in his cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. By whom the world and all that it has is dead to me. It's crucified to me. And I'm crucified. I'm dead to the world. Jesus Christ is my everything. A baptismal service can be a long service. That's why I wanted to be very simple tonight and very direct. And I've come to the end of my message. But I just want to reiterate these points. Let us look at them again very simply. I have been crucified with Christ. A Christian is one who has died to the old life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The miracle of new birth. The life which I now live in the flesh, I struggle until the Lord comes or he takes me home. It's a struggle because the old seeds of sin are still there. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Everything in my life is Christ-centered. He loved me. He gave himself for me. All I can glory in is Jesus Christ and him crucified and the love of God that has been extended to me. So I want to ask you the question in the meeting tonight. Are you a Christian? Have you any idea of the things that I've been speaking to you about? Was there a time when you crucified, you put to death the old life? Do you know anything about being born again with a newness of life? Are you battling in the flesh day and daily? Have you an exalted view of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He everything to you? Have you a personal interest in that precious shed blood of Christ? I ask you, are you a Christian? Simple question, a basic question, one that the answers are very confused in the world. Friends, I've been deliberately as simple as I can be tonight, that you might ask the question, am I a Christian? The five candidates for baptism, they're assured that they know and love the Lord, and they want to publicly declare their faith in Christ through the waters of baptism.